Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Happy Monday, sir.
Good to see you here today, and I want to talk a little bit about the renewed effort in the drug war. People still using drugs, still a lot of problems, yeah. Still a lot of people in prisons, there's still a lot of addiction, society is sick, so what we need is an authoritarian approach to this. You know, there was a time when they didn't, the do-gooders recognized that alcohol was a horrible, horrible thing, so they did prohibition. They tried it for 13 years, found out it made much worse. Well, we've been at this drug war for now, really since the Nixon era, probably 45 to 50 years, and nobody has any evidence that has any benefit except the drug dealers and the law enforcement people, the people who run private prisons, and who knows, maybe some sinister forces can profit from this in a secret manner, like the CIA and others. You know, who knows what goes on, but it's a big business. But Trump, you know, we criticize him because he flip-flops. I wish he had flip-flopped on this one. Because he hinted. He says, we need to be tougher in the drug law. And then Attorney General Sessions, never hid his feelings about what happened. But he comes across as a humanitarian. You know, he wants to, you know, do the right thing and take care of the people. And I believe he's very sincere. But he hasn't read history. So I'd like to discuss that a little bit and hopefully persuade a few people to reassess, because, you know, it looks like there's going to be some people on our side of this argument, and maybe there's going to be some, you know, kickback on this and say, why are we going backwards? You know, these, and the big issue, I think, that they're talking about is tougher enforcement. More mandatory sentences. There used to be a time you got caught with one marijuana cigarette, you got put in with criminals for years. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. And there was progress made in spite of the Republicans just determined never to admit maybe there was some progress in this area under Obama. And there was less of that. And but here we are today, stepping back, you know, from an approach of allowing states to make decisions, nullification. I saw it as a positive thing. Unfortunately, I'm a little discouraged right now. Hopefully, we can persuade others to join us in this effort.
And, you know, there wasn't a lot to cheer about in the Obama administration. We picked out quite a few things that he did pretty well. This was one of them. You know, he directed Attorney General Eric Holder to consider the mandatory minimum problem when looking at how to sentence people for drug offenses. You know, if having a certain amount would trigger a mandatory minimum, say 20 years or something, then you might not mention that in the indictment or what have you. So this is what on Friday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions sent a memo out to federal prosecutors saying that they should discard this and go back to pursuing the most severe penalties allowed, even if it triggers big mandatory minimums.
Right. You know, in many ways, there's some similarities to what they tried in the 20s and early 30s, you know, try to mold social policy and trying to get people who are doing things voluntarily and prohibit that type of activity. It didn't take as long as this one has taken, but I want to read just a little quote from the justification for having prohibition of alcohol, all the wonderful things that it would do. And there was a big effort. It had gone on for decades. Alcohol it wasn't social behavior. It was alcohol was the monster. And it goes like this. This was called the Noble Experiment. Mm-hmm. You know, it was an experiment that failed. Was undertaken to reduce crime and corruption. That's good. Solve social problems. That's good. Reduce the tax burden. That's good. Created by prisons and poorhouses, and improve health and hygiene in America. The opposite happened. It was horrible, and it made no benefits. But now Sessions comes out, and he has two reasons to talk about this, and this is more justice and morality. That he's going to do this. He's going to come down hard on for the sake of justice, even if somebody has done no harm, even if they're in their own house doing something that may be harmful to them. But just think of the social justice warriors if they use this principle. I mean, they think, just speaking out and using the wrong words is a crime.
Yeah.
So what happens when you get somebody in like that if they haven't committed an injury to somebody? But why is it that they never seemed to learn from history? It was a total failure. There were more crimes, more prisoners, more costs. Price went up. Ultimately, there was no reduction in drinking alcohol. The alcohol became more dangerous, and it absolutely backfired. But two things I'd give them credit for back in that time. First thing is, they were so much locked for in the past, they actually thought, well, this is big time. We need to change the Constitution to do this. And of course, they don't do that now. They just go ahead and do it, and they don't have to worry about that. So I just can see no benefit from taking something like a person who becomes addicted. Today, addiction, the major part of addiction today is the fault of the medical profession, and there's more problems with prescription drugs than there are from street drugs. So, the danger of drugs being manufactured in a different way makes it more dangerous and more costly and more dangerous. And, of course, the private prisons right now are on the side of all these laws. Well, we need more prisoners. Just because we have the most in the world, that doesn't mean we can't have more. So there's two things. One are the humanitarians who are going to save the world with false notions. And the other are is the people who benefit, materialistically from this. And there's quite a few groups in that group.
Yeah, and to get a sense of the magnitude of the problem of even the current drug situation, and it actually has decreased incarceration rate over the past couple of years since the Holder changes, but there's a site called Drug Sense, and they run this thing called the Drug War Clock, and it just constantly ticks and shows how much is spent, et cetera. And I took a look at it before the show, and people arrested for drug offenses thus far in 2017, 625,000 people. People arrested for cannabis this year so far, 322,000 people. Money spent so far in 2017 on the drug war, $15.3 billion. And I think that's just on the surface. I think, of course, as you've suggested, there are many other places where money's being spent in the drug war, too.
Well, I mean, you can carry this to an ugly conclusion. What if any habit that people have that might be detrimental to their health, if it becomes the responsibility of the government? Can you imagine eating, drinking, exercising, what you read and what you do and what groups you associate with, which the social justice warriors are interested in doing? So it is so absurd to think that they take care of this. Increases the violence. But what people can't seem to understand, especially more so in the conservative side of the political spectrum, is that people shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be smoking marijuana. Yeah, that's true. They shouldn't be doing that. And people shouldn't drink excessively. But they do not look at it that way. They look at it, they have this moral responsibility to make people better people within themselves. They don't draw a line. We now don't have national prohibition of drinking alcohol, but the laws are still very strict, and rightfully so. If you go out and drive a car and kill somebody or injure somebody, that is a serious, serious crime. You don't get excused. Oh, well, he's sick and he's addicted and doing this sort of thing. So that they don't draw a line like that on smoking a marijuana cigarette, the evidence keep amounting on the possibility, and we should be open to this, that marijuana could possibly help in health matters. But that's not for a single authoritarian official in Washington to make this decision that, no, that's disproven. Science has settled it, So therefore, you're not going to be doing that. And it's the same thing can be said with alcohol. Alcohol's very, very dangerous. But I imagine there's been a lot of people who had a glass of wine in the evening for a long time and caused no harm to anybody.
You know, it's interesting. Steve Chapman, he's a commentator, and he had an interesting piece I was looking at earlier. He brought up the issue of the opioid problem, which, you know, it's an epidemic. It's a terrible problem. I think some 30,000 people die every year for it. And he had an interesting point. He said a lot of the problem that creates the opioid problem is the drug war, because a lot of these people could find themselves, their pain treated using marijuana, medical marijuana. But because it's still prohibited in, I guess now the minority of states, but still prohibited in a lot of states, these people are forced to go to the prescription opioids and even underground opioids, and they get addicted. He pointed out 30,000 die each year from opioids. Nobody dies from marijuana. So it's the drug war contributes to the problem that they blame on the drug.
But also how it this atmosphere has contributed to the abuse by the police, the militarization of the police, the SWAT teams, the no-knock breakdowns, going into the wrong houses. It goes on and on. That's been happening for a long time. And the surveillance that goes on, you know, it's an excuse. Well, if these people are bad people, we got to catch them, so we better surveil them. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And one thing that I have a personal resentment to, and that is when governments, agents, break laws in order to get other people to do bad things, and we've mentioned this before, and that's the entrapment.
Yeah.
This whole idea of entrapment, taking vulnerable people, and maybe somebody is sick and using a drug or something, then using them to set them up. And also, I think they use the same thing, you know, in the war on terrorism. You know, the war on terrorism is blown way out of proportion. You know, I think 2 years ago there were 9 people killed in this country by terrorists, mm-hmm. and, you know, thousands killed in inner-city violence, probably related to our drug war. Mm-hmm. So it goes on. But there's a lot of secondary things that happen with this atmosphere of the drug war.
And like we try to say on monetary policy and foreign policy, you know, if we can't appeal on the moral grounds, then maybe the financial grounds. And here's a couple of more statistics that I dug up. There are currently 330,000 drug offenders in prison right now. The cost is $31,286 per inmate per year, which equals a total of $10.3 billion a year we waste keeping these people in prison. If you add in the drug-related spending on the police, the court system, et cetera, it's actually up to $40 billion a year to keep these people in jail.
I think the ones that did not commit a violent crime just ought to be released. That would solve a lot of our problems. But, you know, there's another ramification from this is the fact that drug costs are high and governments are very much involved. Sometimes people in government that are doing things that they don't want us to know about, and this has been associated with the possibility of the CIA actually getting involved in drugs, you know, Iran-Contra and things like this. And, you know, as bad as the Taliban may be in some of their beliefs and how they run their society, they didn't like opium. They got rid of it. There was no opium in there until we invaded them and took it over. Then all of a sudden, there's a big business. Well, where are all these profits going? You know, these profits go somewhere. Somebody said there's a big coalition to keep these drug laws on. It's a coalition with the religious fundamentalists who are the ones who you know, for good reasons want people not to use drugs. Then there's also the drug dealers. I mean, drug dealers don't want to get rid of these laws. What if the price came down and it was sold like alcohol? You know, alcohol's a deadly drug. It's still probably the most deadly drug in the country, but nobody goes out trying to check and see if a teenager out, well, he got a six-pack of beer.
Yeah.
So where did he get it? They don't do that because it's not quite like getting marijuana. I've been told alcohol is legal, and teenagers have a harder time getting alcohol than they do marijuana, and that's sort of scary.
That's probably true. But I wonder about attitudes. You know, we talked about it a little bit before we started. You know, it seems like the attitudes have changed. A lot of states now are allowing medical marijuana. Some are talking about decriminalizing even recreational marijuana. I think we may even have a recent poll that was done by Gallup, if we have it, that shows the changing views of Americans. And this isn't new. It's a couple years old. But 67% of the people asked were in favor of providing treatment, only 26% of the people thought that these drug users should be prosecuted. So that, I think, is significant, and it makes me wonder if Jeff Sessions may be really out of touch. And here's probably an indication of Sessions' attitude. Hopefully it softened a little bit. You may remember back in 96 when he was Alabama's attorney general, he supported legislation to establish mandatory death sentence if you're convicted twice for drug trafficking, marijuana.
Not only did I think there was a minor victory, in the last administration, regarding the war on drugs, because they softened their stance in less mandatory sentences, but there was a major victory for the principle of state nullification of federal laws, which is, I think, what is going to come. As the federal government becomes more inept and unable to take care of things and unable to even pay the military because of the financial crisis that come, I think there's going to be a lot more responsibility put on the states, and just recognizing that the states could nullify all the bad regulations. Let's think if the iron fist that the federal government holds over the states, whether it's education or highways, it's always, we give you the money, and if you don't do what we tell you, we're going to take away the money. Medical care, that sort of thing. It happens all the time. It's always, take the money, become addicted. If not, we'll take it away. What if they lose the power to give this money? Nullification is going to be very, very popular. And this was a good example of nullification. The states just decided, we're not going to enforce it. And of course, the administration decided they weren't going to send out another army to try to enforce it. But this looks like they're going to resuscitate, the drug army to, go out and try to round up everybody that's been involved. Very, very dangerous trend. We were moving in the right direction. I sort of hope that the success of Sessions and Trump on renewing this drug war is a total failure and a different approach. They just either don't understand, or they don't want to understand, or there's special influence, or they haven't looked at history. But even with this, humanitarian instinct, they shouldn't get a pass on that. If humanitarianism is based on false assumptions, it's not much good. They become non-humanitarians, actually, when they just abuse liberty.
Yeah, and I think the final thing I would say, I think the key is really the conservative anti-drug people have to understand, have to come on board, like you said, on the moral issue. Shouldn't take drugs. It's bad. It's terrible. But just like our interventionism overseas, the drug war doesn't work. So there has to be a better way.
Well, let's hope we get more people to join us in this effort. And it's something I've been optimistic about over several decades. I said someday we're going to wake up in this country, just like the country woke up in 1932, 1933, and say, hey, this prohibition of alcohol isn't working. And they went back and changed the Constitution again. I wished what we could do now is have attention drawn to the Constitution, just read it and find out that they don't have the authority to march around the country and tell people what they can smoke and drink and what they can do. Even if somebody wanted to do it, it's not a federal function to do this. So it is a shame. It's a mess. It is also a reflection of the culture that we live in. And society here invites this type of behavior. I think these drugs are just horrible for people. And the longer I was in medicine and then the longer I study politics and all, the more I have become more anti-drug use, because I think the medical profession hasn't done a good job on it. There are times when they emphasize, the use of pain pills, and then people dying with cancer can't get pain pills. I mean, it's way out of control. It's personal responsibility that we have to renewed. We have personal responsibility, and it's usually not meddled with, and that is when we talk about our spiritual life. And up until these recent years with the cultural Marxists, we were allowed to read and say and use words and talk as much as we wanted. But it's been pretty traditional that governments, including the federal government, has been involved in being the protector of what we put in our bodies. And I think that's wrong. I think in a free society, you make up your own mind. And you need to learn your lesson yourself or your family or friends or somebody else. But not to say, well, the government will take care of me. I ran across things in medicine that really annoyed me. And that is the comfort level that doctors will put in with the FDA. oh, the FDA approved this. Oh, wonderful. You go out and use the drug and people die from it. Then you're in a lawsuit. Why did you give them this horrible drug? And then this doesn't work. Personal choices should be what is used, and there will be mistakes. But nothing like it is when the government makes these mistakes, either through policies of the FDA or through the policy of law enforcement and wanting to take care of the people and make them better people and teaching their habits. Drinking is bad, smoking is bad, and we're going to enforce those laws. We need the American people to wake up and say, we've had enough of this federal government authoritarianism telling us what to do in every minute of our lives, whether it's personal liberty, whether it's economic liberty, and also expanding that to assuming we have the right and the authority to go around the world and tell other people what to do. So I think we have a long way to go, but the basic principle of liberty of minding our own business and acting responsibly and never create violence or cause harm would go a long way to solving our problem, and that's what the libertarian message is all about. And it's becoming more appropriate every day because the system we have today is totally failing. Just look at the failure of the drug war. It's failing. That's an authoritarian approach. That is why we need to look at the cause and the personal responsibility that comes with the understanding what personal liberty is all about. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.